The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And for the next hour, information you can use to stay healthy, energized, have every different system and function of your body work very well. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet. And before I get to the topic I want to talk about first on the program, which is the Zika virus again.
Oh, they're getting us with those headlines.
I want to just say that there is a difference between a nutritionist and a dietitian.
Okay, that's interesting. And there's a difference between being vulnerable to mosquitoes, and particularly the type of mosquito that carries the Zika virus, and kind of inciting panic. And I have to say that's what I just saw one really quick headline this morning, and it was, it's much worse than we thought it was.
Well, and that was played everywhere. It's like their new talking point. I just want to just go into the history a little bit. In 1947... scientists researching yellow fever placed a rhesus monkey in a cage in the Zika forest. And Zika means overgrown. And it's located near the East African Virus Research Institute in Antibes, Uganda. The monkey developed a fever, and researchers isolated from its serum a transmissible agent that was first described as Zika virus in 1952. So how many years is that? 64 years? Mm-hmm. 64 years they've known about Zika virus. It was an infection from Africa and Southeast Asia, and it was very rare. Then in 2007, there was a major epidemic which occurred in Yap Island, Micronesia.
So very isolated area, but a lot of traffic by small boat among those islands.
Then more recently, epidemics have occurred in Polynesia, Easter Island, the Cook Islands, and New Caledonia. The first outbreak of the disease outside of Africa and Asia was in April 2007 on the island of Yap in the Federated State of Micronesia. The condition was, and this is the important point, this is how they've always described the symptoms of the Zika virus. The condition was characterized by a rash, conjunctivitis, and arthralgia, and was initially thought to be dengue. And, of course, there are a few other things around there, like the chikungunya and the Ross River viruses were also suspected. However, serum samples from patients in the acute phase of illness contained RNA of the Zika virus. The Zika fever disease process was relatively mild. There were 49 confirmed cases, 59 unconfirmed cases, no deaths, no hospitalization. So now we fast forward to April 2015, a recent larger outbreak of Zika virus outside Africa and Asia was in Brazil. The district of Camaçari and the neighbor Salvador City, capital of the state of Bahia, healthcare authorities confirmed that a previously unknown disease affecting around 500 patients with flu-like symptoms followed by a rash and arthralgia is indeed an ongoing outbreak of Zika fevers proven by laboratory testing. Local authorities link the outbreak to recent increased flow of foreign visitors because they had the Soccer World Cup over there. Coupled with the large population of insect vectors, which is the Aedes aegypti mosquito, and another mosquito, the Albopictus mosquito, that inhabit the region. The spread follow a similar pattern to the also recent outbreak of chikungunya virus in the same region. Since April 2015, so that's a year ago now, a large ongoing outbreak of Zika virus has spread to much of South and Central America and the Caribbean. In January 2016, the CDC issued a level 2 travel alert for people traveling to regions and certain countries where Zika virus transmission is ongoing. The agency also suggested that women thinking about becoming pregnant should consult with their physicians before traveling. According to the CDC, Brazilian health authorities reported more than 3,500 microcephaly cases between October 2015 and January 2016. Some of the affected infants had a severe type of microcephaly, and some have died. So now you have, for 64 years, they never saw this
microcephaly
effect of the virus.
Right.
All of a sudden, they're seeing it, and they're attributing it to the Zika virus. And I would say with limited proof. In other words, when I say limited proof, I mean the cause and effect. There's the virus, there's microcephaly, but how do you connect the two? Just like you could say, well, all the mothers that had kids with microcephaly drink coffee, so the coffee must have caused it. So how do you, you know, you draw the conclusion? So then, and it's a very big controversy, but I'm pointing this out to bring us all up to date about Zika, but more importantly, you see how the people that are controlling information are trying to control you, because it's taking a similar pattern that we've seen over and over again with, you can go back with swine flu, you can go back with Ebola. I mean, it's just over and over again, and you ask yourself the question, why would they do that? Well, the CDC is asking the government for $2 billion to attack this problem.
Wow.
So, but here's something that someone needs to consider. That there was, because of this outbreak of the mosquitoes, they were using what they call a larvicide, like an insecticide, you know, to kill the mosquito. And the argument is that perhaps these pesticides were the cause of the microcephaly, but they weren't just spraying the ponds. They were putting it in the water that people drank. They're actually putting the pesticide in drinking water, which I'm not, you know, I don't quite understand the rationale there. So they're trying to deny that there's any connection between the use of pesticides and all these birth defects. But it seems to me in 64 years, you really never had this mentioned at all.
This connection.
And now all of a sudden you see it. And the major thing that's changed is this massive use of pesticides. And, of course, everybody's has their own agenda. And, you know, the people promoting Zika so they can get funding, you know, deny it's not the pesticides. But it's really, in my opinion, it's a big deal because they don't have the facts straight. So how would you do that?
They don't have the facts straight. I think it goes a step beyond that they're manipulating the facts, Dr. Slavin.
Well, when I say they don't have the facts, the way I would approach it is, and you could lay this to rest, but they don't want to do it. You go to all the babies that are born and check for the Zika virus, not just the ones with microcephaly. You see if all the babies born, well, in that area have Zika virus, but they don't have microcephaly, you know, then you have to start thinking what else could be the issue there, and then you check for the pesticide. Now, they did say that the majority of these people with the microcephaly were born in the area where the pesticides were used, but they're saying some microcephaly is happening outside this area, so they're saying, well, therefore, it can't be that pesticide.
Okay. What about the whole concept? There was some information reported about sexual contact with someone infected with the Zika virus, that you could have sexual transmission of that virus. And I'm just going to go back to the very, very basics. What is a natural mosquito repellent? What makes humans less attractive to mosquitoes? And it's very, very simple. Optimized B complex status, and very specifically, B1. So when you, and it's very interesting because sometimes people report, okay, B1 did it for me. When I really raised my intake of vitamin B1, then I was no longer vulnerable to insects, after sundown. Some people, they talk about B2. I tell people the importance is optimized B complex status, and there are coenzymated forms of the B complex that are critically important. And it's very, very interesting. You may find a mosquito lands on you but doesn't bite.
Now, just quote what they're saying here, the Argentine organization doctors in the crop spray town say that most affected children live in areas in which the chemical was added in 2014 to local drinking water in an attempt to control mosquito populations. The larvicide is used to create malformations in mosquito larvae in order to impair their development and reproductive abilities. In other words, to stunt their growth. I mean, it makes little sense to me. Well, if you stunt the growth of a fetus, a human fetus, you might see similar malformations. The here's the other thing. Paraproxifen, which is the name of the larvicide, is manufactured by Sumitomo Chemical, a Japanese strategic partner of Monsanto. So malformations detected in thousands of children from pregnant women living in areas where the Brazilian state added paraproxifen to drinking water are not a coincidence, even though the Ministry of Health places a direct blame on the Zika virus for this damage, said the doctors.
Oh, Monsanto. I hear music, Dr. Slavin, so we need to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. More to come. Educate yourself about protecting yourself from mosquito bites and the potential contamination with the Zika virus. Stay tuned. More to come. Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332 or amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're getting the truth. We're getting the facts, not some media compressed sentence that is giving you a direction, a thought direction that might not necessarily be truly the way that you should be considering the information about Zika. Very, very interesting that when the media is reporting about Zika virus and microcephaly and the seriousness of what we're faced with, there is no mention of these very toxic larvicide chemicals, these very toxic chemicals that have been added to drinking water. Now, I would like to hear some scientists defend that position. This is a larvicide. I can understand it being sprayed on environmental areas that would be breeding grounds for the Zika virus, but putting it in drinking water and then saying that the virus is the cause of the microcephaly in infants being born in those areas. Dr. Slavin, here's the connection to Monsanto. And very often when we see issues with health, we see Monsanto having a part to play in this whole picture. So the information that you've been reporting on, Dr. Slavin, how do we know that we can trust that information? And how do we know, kind of here's my view of it, that it's common sense that here's a virus that has been around since identified in 1947, probably around for many, many years before that, but very much identified and named in 1947. And prior to 2014, there was no talk of the connection of this virus being contributing factor to microcephaly. Very, very interesting information that the Zika virus was very much resembling the chikungunya, the dengue, some of the other mosquito-borne illnesses that have serious consequences. People are very, very ill when they're dealing with this virus, but people do recover from the virus, and they may very well have some lasting consequences with regard to how their immune system functions. But the truth of the matter is, contributing factor to birth defects, being able to be sexually transmitted, very, very odd information. So how do we know all of what you're telling us is for sure the bottom line?
We don't. I think, like we see so often, conclusions are jumped to. So you have the possibility that the larvicide or pesticide is contributing to the problem. People are thinking the Zika virus is doing it, which is a stretch only because they've never associated that condition before with Zika. So, you know, all of a sudden, now it's the Zika virus. And, you know, I think before they alarm the public. On the other hand, I think that if prudence says you have to alarm the public before, in other words, in the case of an epidemic, you want to try and prevent it. So even if you're not sure that microcephaly is caused by Zika, you want to tell people, be careful.
Do you think that the news reports have played a role in people changing their travel plans? I know of people. Okay, I know of a young woman traveling to Brazil.
Don't they have the Olympics coming up there?
Yeah, they do.
A lot of people are concerned about that.
So very much travel plans have been changed with regard to the Olympics. And so here's a little bit of a paranoid viewpoint. Is there some international government one-upsmanship at play here, where Brazil has poured millions of dollars into preparing for the Summer Olympics, and now they are having a difficult time selling the tickets to the different events because of this Zika virus? And you said something, you have to alarm the people in order to really have them understand the seriousness of this potential outbreak of Zika, or the potential exposure to the Zika virus. What about the concept of informing people with well thought out facts, well thought out investigation into this? I think we're missing that. And we're certainly missing the part about Monsanto.
Once they come out with that information, then you have to take the steps, you know, to warn the public, to, you know, to make up, you know, their own mind. So I think with this information, which is really not helpful, you have to be concerned about the possibility that Zika could be causing it, even though it seems that there may be other contributing factors. Since 1947, there's never been an association with microcephaly and the virus until last year. So how does that happen?
Okay.
Well, let me just finish. So what happens? They alarm the public. They get funding by the government, $2 billion. They create a virus. I mean, they create a vaccine for the virus, and now they're getting everybody vaccinated with the vaccine. So now everybody's happy, and they go to Brazil.
And the pharmaceutical company manufacturing the vaccine is a subsidiary of Monsanto. I want to know, do mosquitoes only feed on blood? Is that the only source that mosquitoes have for nourishment? Is there any other substance that a mosquito would use to nourish and use as nourishment and survive?
I'm not sure.
Okay, because, you know, maybe there are other sources that the Zika virus or the Zika carrying mosquitoes are using as nourishment, and that part of the whole lifespan might play a role as well.
So here's the whole debate in a nutshell. The Argentine environmental group said on its website that cases of microcephaly have occurred only in places in Brazil where the pesticide has been used. But the Brazilian Ministry of Health said cases have increased across the board, even where the pesticide hasn't been used. But this is the first association with Zika and microcephaly. So, you know, go figure. And
do you have a bottom line recommendation to people?
I think the answer is we don't know the answer yet. So therefore, you have to be open-minded against all possibilities. I think it's always a good idea to avoid drinking pesticides. You know, they put in the water in Brazil, not just because of Zika, but because of malaria and other mosquito-borne viruses. So that was the idea. But I don't know if that's a wise use.
Okay, here's information that's kind of good for consideration. Here are highly toxic chemicals that are used as pesticides, herbicides, larvicides. Silver is something that is has been used for thousands of years to keep liquids germ-free, free of bacteria, viruses, parasites, and fungus. And how is that not a reasonable approach rather than some very, very expensive, artificially manufactured chemical that, yes, is toxic to the larva of the mosquitoes, but not necessarily of any, it isn't very much part of keeping people healthy. It is defeating the purpose of good health by exposing people to these horrible chemicals.
Okay, up until this outbreak, there were actually no deaths reported from Zika, or very rarely. According to the World Health Organization, at the global level, there are over 3 million cases of pesticide poisoning each year.
Whoa.
And more than 220,000 deaths, mostly in developing countries. Exposure to some pesticides, and you have to wonder, why are they still using those pesticides? But they are, can cause a wide range of health problems such as memory loss, loss of coordination, behavioral effects, reduced motor skills. In addition, they may cause asthma, allergies, cancer, hormone disruption, and problems with reproduction and fetal development, such as microcephaly. Children are at greater risk of exposure to pesticides because of their small size and because their immune system isn't fully developed. Given the toxic effects of pesticides and that they are more heavily used in Brazil's northeast region, it's not unreasonable to think that, at least in some cases, microcephaly might be due to excessive use of toxic pesticides and that these effects have been unmasked by the Zika virus infection. In other words, we're all of a sudden paying attention, but they're trying to blame the Zika virus because you can't sue Zika. It's also possible to think that microcephaly in children may have a multi-causal origin.
Oh, what an original concept. More than one cause. So here's a thought that went through my mind. What if the microcephaly is a contributing factor to mothers infected with Zika virus but have also had a flu shot?
I mean, then the possibilities are endless. But I just want to, you know, when I listed off all the risks associated with exposure to pesticides, besides cancer and things, you know, what about the neurological things like Parkinson's disease we see so much of? And in Florida, they use a lot of pesticides. Just want you to think about it.
That music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned. More to come to keep you healthy.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We have been discussing all of the information in the media with regard to the Zika virus. So if you saw any of the breaking news this morning on news reports that the Zika virus is more dangerous than previously thought, here are some truth in information tidbits so that you can make informed decisions about your health. Dr. Slavin?
And what was it that the CDC said? It's more about the virus. We're learning something
Much more serious than we thought was all I saw.
Well, why are they so incompetent to have done such a poor job in evaluating the virus? Why aren't they paying attention? The answer is they're not incompetent. This is about politics and money more than about the disease.
Well,
if this was a real dangerous threat, they would have known all about it.
When you talked about the connection with Monsanto, all sorts of thoughts went through my head.
So here's what they talked about Zika virus before. About 1 in 5 people infected with Zika virus becomes ill. That means 80% of the time you don't even know you have a problem. The most common symptom of Zika are fever, rash, joint pain, and red eyes. A lot of people get that.
And certainly very similar to dengue.
And, you know, and I know when people get that, we're not drawing blood to check for Zika virus or dengue or chikungunya. Other symptoms include muscle pain, headache, pain behind the eyes, and vomiting. The illness is usually mild, with symptoms lasting for several days to a week.
Lyme disease, does that fit in there at all? Some of those symptoms are associated with Lyme.
Severe disease requiring hospitalization is uncommon. Deaths due to Zika have not been reported, and maybe until recently, but we don't know it's due to Zika. That's the point, because we just said 220,000 deaths from pesticide exposure are happening every year. So we don't know that since deaths were never reported with Zika, now all of a sudden people are dying. Is it the Zika or is it the pesticides they're using to control?
And you have two different health ministries, the health ministry in Brazil with one story and the health ministry in Argentina with another.
So they say the Zika fever is similar to other viruses such as dengue fever and chikungunya, which means that it can be easily mistaken for one of those illnesses. The majority of cases, up to 80%, are asymptomatic. The main clinical symptom in patients are a low-grade fever, conjunctivitis, some aches and pains, like you get with any virus, a rash. Hemorrhagic manifestations have been documented in only one instance. During the outbreak in French Polynesia, there was also noted to be a concomitant increase in Guillain-Barré syndrome, which could have been due to Zika, but has not been proven. So there's a lot of things not proven than proven, and yet they're coming out and saying that, all of a sudden microcephaly is from Zika. I just think they should do their homework a little bit better before they make that connection.
Or before $2 billion would be spent.
And it would be easy. You just check all the babies. Or let's say you checked all the babies with microcephaly, and you find the vast majority have Zika virus. But what if you also find the vast majority have pesticides in their body? How do you determine which is which?
Okay, so would that be able to be determined with a blood test, the exposure to certain pesticide chemicals?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Set up for that, sure. So it's just the way the system works. Now, I know you wanted to talk about various treatments, but before I get to that, there were some other headlines that's kind of interesting. Under the same category of environmental toxins and exposure to different illnesses, is there lead in your chocolate?
Oh, I'm horrified to think that there might be lead in my chocolate, even if it was from an organic source.
Well, what we're trying to do here is try and explain why people get sick. And
good idea.
You know, we see, all right, you can blame a virus, but maybe you blame the pesticides and larvicides used to, you know, to kill the mosquito. Maybe that's hurting more people. But their argument is, more people would die from mosquito-borne illness than die from pesticides or larvicides. So that's why they use it. They did. They looked at 35 of 50 chocolate brands tested, and they were found to contain lead or cadmium, many levels that exceeded California's safety limit. So, you know, how do you know? That's the problem. So here's how you know. I still think it's a good idea to check for heavy metals. If you have any health challenges, part of the workup should be a heavy metal test, but not a blood test for heavy metals, because it won't show up there. You'd have to do a provocative test. Now, I like chocolate. Do you like chocolate, Janet?
Just a little, sure.
And chocolate is good, and you really want to get high-quality chocolate, black, dark chocolate preferably.
High cocoa content.
Has anti-inflammatory properties, anti-carcinogenic, anti-diabetic and anti-obesity. I guess that's the chocolate that doesn't taste good.
Oh, see, I have to say, I believe it's an acquired taste. I don't know how many people, I'm going to pick on oysters. How many people like oysters? That's an acquired taste.
Raw oysters.
Right. How many people like olives the first time they tasted them? And so dark chocolate's kind of in that category. Once you have developed the taste for the dark chocolate and then you understand the health benefits associated with that dark chocolate, it's an easy decision.
And it really does have a lot of health benefits, but you have to get it in the right form. What's the right form? The closer your cocoa is to its natural raw state, the higher its nutritional value. If you're after health benefits, now, I don't know. I'm not sure I'm eating chocolate with health benefits in mind.
Okay, it does have very specific health benefits because when you eat it, your brain chemistry changes. And so you...
But here's the point. Raw cacao nibs are what you're looking for if you want the health benefits. And that refers specifically to a small evergreen tree of the species Theobroma cacao and its dried seeds, also known as cacao beans or cocoa beans, prior to processing.
It's very interesting because when you see the cocoa, the fruit, and then see the nibs, the seeds inside the fruit, it's very, very interesting to me that the processing that we have come to know as cocoa and chocolate ever made it into the human consumption, because the raw fruit right from the tree isn't all that appealing.
Now, of course, the problem is the healthier it is, the more bitter it is. So it doesn't taste as good.
So there's a brand of chocolate, 70% dark chocolate, that has cocoa nibs in it. Absolutely delicious.
So, you know, read the label. And I guess there's a lot of chocolate sold out there that doesn't have much chocolate in there at all.
And I think a lot of it might necessarily come under a certain headline like Hershey's. Very, very interesting, high sugar content, a lot of different additional ingredients way beyond the chocolate.
So we just, I think we're ruining a lot of people's days here, you know?
No, there's good choices. Yeah. It's, you learn to like these dark chocolate flavors.
So here's the other headline. Not even your organic wine is safe from Monsanto. So here's what they found. An analysis revealed glyphosate in all 10 wine samples tested, even organic and biodynamic wines contain traces of glyphosate. Most conventional vineyards use Roundup, which contains glyphosate, to kill weeds around the grapes. But the organic wines may have been contaminated because glyphosate drifted over into the organic and biodynamic vineyards from conventional vineyards nearby. That's a real problem. You have to consider that.
It's a huge problem. It's very interesting. Would there be a way to identify the presence of glyphosate in our bodies, either tissue samples or blood samples? And then if we were shown to have that chemical circulating in our bodies, how do we get it out?
Well, the reason we're concerned about glyphosate, and there are so many pesticides used, and glyphosate in particular, you're talking about, I think, like billions of pounds of this herbicide used. But we're concerned about it because it stimulates the growth of human breast cancer cells. It's an endocrine disrupting substance, so it's going to affect human reproduction and fetal development. Do you think there's a rise of fertility issues where, you know, people are going for in vitro fertilization, all the fertility drugs?
There's a fertility clinic in every city around the country. And you think back 10 years, that was not the case.
Induces oxidative damage and can cause neurotoxicity in the brain. Can affect the sex hormones and cause birth defects. Nobody's paying attention. Let me say this. Maybe people are paying attention. Nobody's doing anything about it.
Well, people are making informed decisions as much as their budgets allow. But you're saying that even those crops labeled organic may be contaminated with glyphosate just because of glyphosate application drifting over the organic areas. Very, very sad state of affairs. And here's why the chocolate comes into this picture. If you protect your healthy cells, if you support your antioxidant status, then you are much less likely to be damaged by exposure to some of these nasty chemicals.
So you want to stay as far away from these pesticides as possible, herbicides. You eat organic foods, and you make sure you're drinking filtered or purified water. And then they say, this is something that I'm not too familiar with. You might be, Janet. Eating fermented foods like kimchi may help detox the pesticides that do enter your body. Tell me about kimchi.
Kimchi is the Korean sauerkraut, so to speak, and very, very high quality kimchi is going to be full of beneficial bacteria, some of it aged for many, many years. And it's an acquired taste, can be very, very spicy. And that music means that we need to take a break. And when we come back, I'll give you some more information about fermented foods. Stay tuned.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Janet Cimarelli is the licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth? Trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. We are reporting to you the ways that you need to know about to avoid disease before it manifests in a symptom. And we're talking just before the break about kimchi. And there are so many different ways for you to begin making your own fermented foods, and very, very simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. It isn't rocket science. It is something very, very basic that humans have been doing in different cultures for years and years and years. Yogurt is something, the most common fermented dairy food, and you can do that same thing. Pickles, sauerkraut, very, very helpful at supporting your immune system and changing your microbiome. And that's why you need to know about these fermented foods and come into health food stores and see what they have to offer with regard to little kits that you can use, vegetables and fruits that are just very, very easily fermented. You can do it yourself at home.
Janet, I think it was yesterday you mentioned the association between talc and cancer, specifically ovarian cancer in women. And the headline today is Johnson & Johnson lawsuit set to begin after the company knowingly hid baby powder's cancer risk.
Wow.
So what's happening is you have 1,000 women who developed ovarian cancer after using a baby powder product. It's based on the assertion that the company knew their product was associated with an increased cancer risk, but deliberately withheld the information from the public. I mean, this is why we talk about these things, because you can't believe everything that's being said automatically. You know, I think you have to double, just like, you know, you go to a doctor and always say, get a second opinion. Let's hear what somebody else has to say. You know, when a company says, this thing is great for you, you know, get a second opinion. If it's not dangerous, you know, for example, with supplements, I'll say try it for 3 months, see if it makes a difference. But when you have, and who would have ever thought that talcum powder could have caused these problems?
For years, we've been using it for our babies. It's a very, very sad situation.
Sure. Yeah. Ovarian cancer, the link between talcum powder and ovarian cancer has been suspected for 45 years, but the company ignored the scientific findings, even after further statistical studies back in 1982 confirmed the link. And over the years, Johnson & Johnson, and they've been associated with other controversial
areas. Yes, they have.
Has put a great deal of effort in convincing consumers that their products, particularly their line of baby products, which includes Johnson & Johnson's baby powder, are safe and trustworthy. It is believed that this may be the reason the company withheld the information linking their baby powder product with ovarian cancer. They wanted to protect their reputation at all costs. But it's kind of foolish, because it's not their baby powder. It's anybody's baby powder. You know, talc, if it gets inside the baby, you know, female baby, can work its way up to the ovaries and initiate this reaction.
It's very, very interesting, because I tell people all the time they have to check the other ingredients right outside the supplement facts box on any vitamin formula that they are taking. The other ingredients will tell you that sometimes there may be ingredients that you don't want to be consuming on a regular basis. And in some formulas, talc is one of those ingredients. You surely do want to stay away from it, both using it topically, as in that Johnson & Johnson baby powder, and certainly you don't want to swallow it in your supplements.
Now, what would be an alternative to talcum powder?
I haven't yet really found it. For some cornstarch is, but you want to make sure that it's organic because you don't want something that's contaminated with glyphosate.
And the only problem with cornstarch, too, is yeast love it.
Okay, well, just outside topical skin?
I mean, if you should have a yeast infection or something in the area.
Okay.
But, I mean, there are alternatives. You could just use a hair dryer.
Uh-huh.
You know, to absorb any extra moisture and things.
How
like
about
that.
The idea of cotton clothing? Cotton clothing that breathes.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very important. And you try to find something that is 100% cotton. And then you find out that Monsanto has been spraying the cotton crops for decades.
See, this is different because there are a lot of companies, I think, that make talcum powder.
True.
They all have the potential risk. So I don't know why Johnson & Johnson felt it would have been a black eye to their company. On the other hand, you have companies like Monsanto that make these chemicals that kill plants, kill pests, and they say it's perfectly safe for humans. And, you know, that's still hard to believe. And yet to be proven safe. That's the thing. They don't have the studies to back up the safety of these chemicals. And as I mentioned earlier, with glyphosate, it's associated with cancer. World Health Organization said it's a probable carcinogen.
Okay, you think about the countries around the world that have banned the use of those herbicides and pesticides, and why we continue to allow the copious application of these toxic substances and poisoning our population. So many of the diseases, so many of the symptoms that people are walking around with, these are things that are traceable back to the toxic chemicals, and they are used freely here in the United States, not necessarily elsewhere.
So what if you had a treatment that could inactivate toxins, kill bacteria, viruses, and fungi, increase the oxygen combining power of the blood, stimulate your immune system, improve your blood circulation by dilating blood vessels, activate your white blood cells to function better, decrease platelet aggregation, meaning less risk of blood clots, stimulate fibrinolysis, that means the dissolution of blood clots, and improve the microcirculation. Wouldn't that be a nice treatment to know about?
And very accessible, something that is not associated with any kind of pain, any kind of discomfort, extremely efficient, and the very, very good news is it's available at the Institute of Advanced Medicine, and I can personally attest to its efficiency.
No, it does work. It works well in killing viruses, and it becomes particularly important when you hear about all these viral illnesses that you're exposed to, and nobody knows what to do about it. They want to make a vaccine against the virus. We know that that doesn't work. I think tomorrow we'll probably talk about the fact that the pertussis virus, vaccine doesn't work to kill pertussis.
Okay, very, very interesting. When people are vaccinated against certain viral illnesses and then they are circulating freely in the population, they actually are potentially shedding viral particles that have a possibility of spreading a viral infection.
It's really just better to strengthen your immune system. You know, the upshot of the that pertussis issue about the vaccines not working is because it gave limited immunity, maybe 2 years worth of immunity, if at all, and people are being given a false sense of security. You know, but that's the story of medicine in general, healthcare in general. Is they give people a false sense of security, and by that they mean, oh, I'm taking a drug. I don't have to do what's necessary to keep myself healthy, which means exercise, eat properly, get enough sleep.
Pharmaceuticals do not convey good health.
Yeah. So, you know, just And the payoff, it really works. If you take good care of yourself, you know, you do get rewarded for that.
The reward is energy. Your brain chemistry is very, very supported. That's really interesting because you think about so many people using antidepressant substances, using medications to overcome insomnia. When you have good health, that brain chemistry is very, very balanced and supported, and you sleep very well because you have energy to move throughout your day and achieve a certain level of fatigue, and then you sleep very, very well. So the reward is absolutely fabulous in such good energy, a good digestive system. It's very interesting because I speak to so many people, and the individuals who are working hard to figure out the source of a little bit of discomfort they may be experiencing, one of the things that happens with them is by adjusting their diet, exercise, their sleep patterns, they feel well and overcome some of the little symptoms that may be irritating. And so we come to the end of Natural Doc Radio for today, Tuesday, but we will be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock with more information to overall support and improve your good health. And if you're dealing with certain types of symptoms, there are answers in nutrition, and you can make the changes because you've gotten the information here on Natural Doc Radio. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory,
energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy.
The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.